Okay, good evening. Let's see. We have a member of our church in remote in Wisconsin, and that's remote. I wonder if she's freezing up there. That's cold. Yeah. And but she's 89 years old, and she's proud of it. She's proud of every year, every day, every month. So let's just recognize Betty Shoup by just playing Happy Birthday. We don't need to sing. Sing it again. No, every year you remind me, and we'll do that in February. My goodness, 89 years old. I don't know if I want to be around when I'm 89. Man, everybody help me move this leg here, and I'll be up with y'all. Huh? She's young. Huh? Okay, good. There you go. All right. She's young. I'm really a young woman. Okay, first of all, Tish, not feeling well tonight, but it has nothing to do with the cancer. She's feels like it's really going away. She feels very, very good about that. So let's just continue praying and get some more answered prayer in regard to Tish. And let's see, how's Nathan? Doing good, okay. And just be in prayer for Bill Hess, be in prayer for Judith's friend Sharon, and just pray for Betty Shoup, that things will just keep rolling along year after year. My mother was 94, and she was real spunky. And 2 weeks before she died, I went down, and we were, it's too much trouble, too difficult for her to get in and out of a car, but I would take her in her wheelchair, and we'd just go down the streets exploring. And each time, we'd get a block further. And that time, we went way down, and we passed this Mexican restaurant. And she said, oh, Mexican restaurant. I said, yeah, you want to go in for a margarita? And she said, no, can we? And I said, yeah. So we went in there and had a meal and eat and had a good time. Spunky gal. And so, just be in prayer for Betty Shoup. And let's see, I guess Bill Hess is 83, 84?
86.
86, all right, he's 86. And so, that's good. All right, let's begin with a word of prayer. And as we continue in our study, everything you wanted to know about the underworld and more, and you wanted to know. So let's begin with a word of prayer. Now, Heavenly Father, I'm grateful we are for the opportunity to take time out of our life, come and worship you. Have your word abide in us. In the power of your Spirit, us abiding in your Son. So, Father, we pray that your Spirit will open our eyes to the things you'd have us to see. What a wonder this book is. All the things that it tells us and discloses to us. So, Father, we pray tonight your Spirit will open our eyes to the things you'd have us to see. Father, we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. All right, let's open our Bibles to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. Now, we closed last week with recalling how Satan was just having the angels, the demons that came down and took the form of man, just impregnate as many women as they possibly could. We studied Zeus, how many women he had, how many children by them, and it's just a population explosion in a very short period of time. And so now we take a look at verse 3 in Genesis 6. Then the Lord, this is God the Father, said, my Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, shall not strive with man forever, because he also is flesh. Nevertheless, his days shall be 120 years. The word is really not to strive. I think we did this about the judicial term here, and now it's a judicial term. And he will not. The Lord, the God the Father, said, my Spirit will not always plead the cause of man with man, and man's going astray. and disregarding his plan and marrying and intermarrying with these demons. Some of you have asked a couple of questions. I've been asked, for an example, okay, even if all of the half-human, half-angelic creatures did not believe in Jesus Christ as a coming Messiah, where are they now? Well, I think that they are probably either, we're not told, first of all, so this is not a dogma. They're probably either in Tartarus or they are in the abyss. And they will be thrown into the lake of fire, which will be angels and man, we know that. Angels, demons, Satan, and the angels, and human beings will be cast into the lake of fire. So that really doesn't have any distinction on the type of creature that would be put into it. And then I think somebody else asked me, what about the males who were living at this time? Well, the Bible doesn't give us a whole lot of information. And in fact, I did a little research, and even the classical Greek doesn't give us too much information, except that they probably were demasculated, and but they, whatever happened to them, they did not believe in the coming Messiah, except for the nine people, Noah and his family. So that's what's going on in that respect. Any other questions that you might have had in this, just let me know. If I don't know, I'll tell you I don't know, and I'll see what I can find out. And I didn't get too much more information on the males during all of this period of time. And so, anyway, this dealt with the antediluvian ministry of the Holy Spirit. Antediluvian, A-N-T-E-D-I-L-U-V-I-A-N, refers before the flood. Before the flood civilization, ministry of the Holy Spirit. And the common grace ministry of the Holy Spirit is working here and is seen in this passage. Being born spiritually dead, we're totally depraved and cannot understand the gospel. So the Holy Spirit convicts, makes it clear, convicts, and then we have to decide whether or not we believe in Jesus Christ as Savior. From the time of Genesis 6:3 to the end of the flood, there'd be an elapse of about 120 years. And so that's how brief a time it took to really repopulate the earth in this horrible big way in which they did. Only Noah and his family, mentioned in Genesis 6, believed in the coming Messiah, not in Jesus, didn't know his name until he came, but in the coming Messiah and the promise of God in that respect. And everyone else just rejected. Don't be too alarmed by that. As I told you, we're down in the family of David, down to one, just one. So this is not that rare. Look how many people in America, and how many do you think really believe in Jesus Christ as Savior? I suspect not very many. And it's going to be fewer and fewer as the time goes on. Evangelism would continue for 120 years. More in the antediluvian civilization before the flood comes. And then grace precedes judgment is the principle. Before God judges, he always sends grace. He always sends a warning. Often, this is true of even believers, often we do not pay attention to the warnings that God gives. But God sends a warning before judgment or before divine discipline. And so he sent them grace. He sent them the evangelization by the Holy Spirit, and giving and convicting of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Nell asked me last week about how did they do that. Don't know exactly. Don't know if it was through angels actually giving the gospel, through whatever means that he gave. The gospel was presented to everyone on earth. So by the grace of God and his sovereign plan, Jesus Christ would be born into the human race as a pure member of the human race, as a descendant of Shem. And it almost worked. Satan's plan almost worked, but almost is to fail. So it didn't work. Now tonight, let's pick up verse 4. Genesis chapter 6, verse 4 tonight. The Nephilim. Now the Nephilim are half human, half angelic. And these are real creatures that lived and walked on the face of the earth, people. The Nephilim were on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God, demons, came to the daughters of men, and they were born, and they born children to them. Those who were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown, like Hercules. A lot of the things that we've seen in movies and then read about and in Greek mythology, these are classical mythology. These are real creatures and real episodes. How many of them actually occurred, I don't know. The Eclopsis, the one-eyed giant, I don't know. But I know that a lot of these were actual beings, creatures, half angel, half man, that were on earth. And they did heroic things, like Hercules just did a tremendous, I think it was 12 different things he had to do. And it was an unbelievable period of time in world history. And as I said, we got to go combine classical Greek and then take in what the Bible tells us, put these things together. So let's summarize chapter 6, verse 4. 1. Notice the three categories of creatures are mentioned in verse 4. Ha Adam, that's true humanity. Bana Ha Elohim, those are the angels in human bodies. And Nephilim. These are the offspring of the first two. Half human woman and the half angel. And so half supernatural creatures. So there are three creatures designated living on planet Earth at this time. There were true human beings. There were pure angels. And then there were the demons, actually. And then there were the half creatures, half and half. Half breed creatures, half angel, half man. So this was going on at this time. We suspect from Greek mythology that the men would really just by force take the women. They didn't rebel all that much because these men took very handsome, very strong, powerful body forms. And so all of this goes into the sexual disorientation going on at this time. And so that's what's happening. And I'm sure if a woman had been with one of the Nephilim, that they would not want a natural man. And so that's why I'm saying what happened to men at this time is probably very devastating in history. Point two. Yes. Yep. Yeah. Yep. That happens out of Genesis 4, I guess it is, about the Tower of Babel. Okay. All right. Point two. Ha Nephilim. The Ha always means the. The Ha Nephilim means the fallen ones. The Hebrew word Nephilim means the fallen ones. These are the subject of all the Greek mythology, classical Greek mythology, and Rome and Germany. You'll find some of this mythology in Roman mythology and in German mythology. These creatures had superb strength. They had superb intellect, capable of performing superhuman accomplishments. So if you're a natural man, how are you going to compete with that? You say, well, forget it. So that's what happened in that respect, I'm sure. These heroes of the antediluvian times, before the flood times, are recorded in Greek mythology. In stories such as Hercules, Persus, P-E-R-S-U-S. I'm just giving you these if you're interested in it. You look it up on the internet and have fun just reading some of these things. Theseus, T-H-E-S-E-U-S. Jason, J-A-S-O-N. Peleus, P-E-L-I-U-S. Castor, C-A-S-T-O-R. And Pollux, P-O-L-L-U-X, and that just names a few. That's just a few of these half-angel, half-man creatures. Three. As a result of this demonic attack on humanity, the fallen angels involved were confined to Tartarus. The third compartment of Sheol or Hades. We've studied paradise, the great gulf fixed, torments, and then came Tartarus. And the only preachers that are in Tartarus are these angels. Maybe some of these people, I don't know, maybe these half-breed people, but I don't know if they're in torments or are in Tartarus. But I do know the angels that were part of all of this are in Tartarus. Four, these demons who participated in this invasion of the earth under the command plot of Satan no longer can participate in the angelic conflict. We have demonic demons that are active right now all over the world, in the heavens, on earth. Now they can't take body form anymore. By the way, this also raises an interesting question. If the angels could do that, why couldn't they also take woman form? And I don't know. I've tried to find that out, and I don't know. Yes. God's confinement. God said, you came in, you polluted my earth, you tried to destroy the human race, you tried to stop the birth of my son, so I'm confining you to Tartarus for the duration. We'll come back to that, how Jesus Christ went here and delivered a victorious proclamation to this group. Well, let me get there.
Okay.
Let's see what he's sorry about first. Okay. So, these demons who participated in the earth invasion under the command of Satan are no longer allowed to participate in the spiritual warfare. They are confined from Satan and then until the end of time. From the time of the flood to the end of time, they are confined in Tartarus. They will be released at the millennium, at the end of the millennium, and cast into the lake of fire with Satan and unbelievers. Five. So note the distinction between fallen angels. In the antediluvian civilization, before the flood civilization, the demons who invaded the earth had angelic bodies capable of taking human bodies with sexual capabilities. You got to think about all this. I don't want to get away off on it, but you got to think about this. This means that they have the ability to actually impregnate with their sperm women. This is a remarkable thing that we have going on here. So they had sexual capabilities, able to have sex with human women and impregnate them, resulting in the satanic attempt to destroy true humanity. That was the point. I suspect that one of the reasons that only the women are involved and not the men on earth, the human men and human women, is that women are always susceptible to deception. And the woman was deceived in the garden. Know that from 1 Timothy. The woman was deceived in the garden. Women are under the submission of a man, and so have all these things going on at that time. And I suspect that has somewhere in there has an interplay with all of that, of why the men were not involved, but just the women were involved. This is all part of Satan's plan. It almost succeeded, except by the grace of God and the sovereignty of God, and he brought in the flood to wipe them out. Remember that when he uses water, you can always think about restoration. Fire, it's over. When he uses water through history, restoration's around the corner. When he uses fire, there's no restoration. All right, point six. Today, the post-diluvian, P-O-S-T-D-I-L-U-V-I-A-N period, there are two categories of fallen angels. In the post-diluvian civilization, our period of history, there are two categories of fallen angels. A, there are demons who are permitted by God, remember that, they're permitted by God, to function in the angelic conflict, in the spiritual warfare, in the invisible war. Donald Barnhouse was one of the very first popular evangelical writers to really get involved in the angelic conflict, the spiritual warfare. In fact, his book is written, The Spiritual Warfare, or excuse me, The Invisible Warfare. And if you want a good book, that's an excellent book. The Invisible Warfare by Donald Barnhouse. Excellent, excellent book. I've read it several times and still go back and will note things that he pointed out. So there are demons who are permitted by God to function in the angelic conflict, in the spiritual warfare, under the command of Satan all through history. B, there are demons who are not permitted by God on earth. They're not permitted by God to come on earth to get involved in the angelic conflict. They attempted to destroy the human race, prevent the birth of Jesus Christ, the first advent of Jesus Christ into the human race. Therefore, God incarcerated them. God incarcerated them in a special compartment of Sheol called Tartarus. And remember that in Peter, we actually have the Greek word Tartarus. A lot of times, some of the Bible translators, including the NSV, don't want to translate it that way because they don't want you to get involved in mythology. But people, I'm not afraid of mythology, and I hope you're not. We put it in its perspective that this is Satan's story, and the Bible is God's story. So we can, in fact, to me, not only am I not afraid of it, I personally like it. It kind of confirms, if we need that confirmation, confirms the Bible. That here is Satan telling his story. Here's God. Well, if this is the only thing we got for the original creation and all that, and this, and then the flood and all that, well, but now we've got two accounts going. We got Satan's account and God's account. So I'm not afraid of mythology, but that's probably why they don't want to use the word Tartarus.
The second category, the demons say, were not permitted to come to earth in the name of God, incarcerated in the Tartarus. What did they do to
the post-diluvian area? They're in Tartarus.
So what did they do for God to incarcerate in Tartarus during
the infiltrated the earth with sex, taking the form of man.
That was in the pre-diluvian area.
Well, you got up to the flood. Got up to the flood. You got to get my pen up in here. Up to the flood, and so here they are, and they've now come down to earth and have the intercourse. The flood comes, and after the flood, they are taken down to Tartarus. Why are they taken down to Tartarus? Because they infiltrated the human race. Does that help, Jim?
The ones who are demons that are out there did not infiltrate.
No,
there.
No. Nope.
I thought all of those were put in Tartarus at the time of the flood.
Not
yeah.
The flood.
At the time of the flood.
But there were still some demons that didn't.
Only the ones that had sex.
So yes.
Only
yeah.
The ones that had sex.
Only the ones that had sex are taken to Tartarus.
But those were
the
one in your point number five, though, weren't they?
Those were
Number five, note the distinctions between fallen angels. We have the antediluvian civilization. The demons who invaded the earth had angelic bodies, connected on human bodies, and were able to have sex with human beings, with females.
They were good and murderous.
Yes.
Then in the post-diluvian era, after flood, there were more of them?
There were demons.
They didn't come down.
Jim, there were demons. Who existed here and here. They were not confined because they did not get involved in the infiltration. Does it, Jim, does that help?
Hi. Where are the ones that didn't have sex? Are they still around?
They're active right now.
They're still around.
They're active right now.
They're aggravating us.
They're out there right now. Yep.
Pastor, demons can still possess people, though, today, right?
Do what?
Demons can still possess people today.
Demons can possess unbelievers.
Yes.
Demons cannot possess a believer,
yeah,
but they can possess an unbeliever. But that's different than taking a form of a human being. Huh? And they can influence believers, but they can only indwell an unbeliver. And yes, they can do that. You bet. And they do. Yeah. They do. Okay. Okay, sub-point 7 here. Point 7. For the record, those demons who are active in human history, well, just your question, who are active in human history cannot take the form of a human body, but may seek to indwell the body of unbelievers. So you and I were thinking the same way. So, they can take, indwell a believer, but they cannot take the form of an unbeliever and indwell unbelievers but not believers. Only the bodies of unbelievers can be demon-possessed. But the soul of both believer and unbeliever can come under demonic influence, under demonic doctrines, who are interested in Satanism. When I used to have a lot of young people, I would just right out tell them, you go to somewhere like Las Vegas, or excuse me, New Orleans, and I really don't care, you go into this kind of place or that kind of place, but you stay away from the Satan coffee shops, tea shops, the Satan shops.
Yeah.
Because a demon, that's all he needs to do, is to see that you're interested. You may just stand across and, oh, I just want to look. Don't do that. I take this very serious, people. I take demonic influence, demonic attack, I take all of this seriously. And you don't even want to fool with it. There was a young man in seminary, he was a seminary student, and down near downtown Dallas there was a big Satan meeting, and he just wanted to go. He just, and I mean, he lived right down the hall from me, he just wanted to go and check it out. And he came and asked me if I could. I said, no, I do not want any part of that. And I want to tell you, for about 2 months after he got back, his life was hell. He had strange things happen to him. He had he'd wake up in the middle of the night, frightened. I don't know. He said he was elevated. I don't know. But I know that he did have a very rough time after going down there. You don't even want to fool with it. Yes. No. Just leave it. Leave them alone. Demons are real things. They're real creatures. Now, witness to people, but not to demons. I would say no.
Mm-hmm.
Nope. That's just a dangerous place to be. They're powerful. Demons are powerful. They're supernatural.
And man, I don't...
Huh?
I thought that... I guess I'm having a hard time with that. Like, in human form?
No. That's even worse, though. Because they're invisible. But they work on you. And you've heard of unbelievers being demon-possessed and exorcising them and all this stuff. And people do crazy things, even in the Bible, under demonic influence. And all this type of thing. They're real. They're dangerous. And I don't even like it when they advertise things like poltergeists on my TV. I don't even like it. I do not even like it advertised. But I tell young people, don't fool with it.
I thought those were like Old Testament.
No, this is New Testament stuff. Yeah. In Jesus' time. All the pig went off of the cliff and different things and a lot of things in the New Testament. Yeah, they're very real and very active and they're very dangerous. And I just, man, I went so far as to say, listen, I may get in trouble with your parents. I don't care if you go down and look at some of the sex shops, but you stay out of the Satan places. You stay out. That's dangerous. You don't even want to fool with it. And because you watch a movie, you go to those houses, shops and things, they see you're interested. And they're going to come after you. This guy was interested and they came after him. And I believe it. I don't know if he is elevated, but I believe he was under influence, yes. Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah. And the Ouija board.
Yeah.
No.
Don't want to get involved in all that stuff. They ain't some of the most unbelievable stories I've heard of Dungeons and Dragons.
That happened to my cousin's grandson. He was curious about that, and oh man, whatever that was.
Dungeons and Dragons.
Yes. And he was oppressed for a while.
Yeah. It's dangerous stuff, yes.
It goes back to your step a long time ago where you said about fool with Satan. Basically, it's not Satan himself, but the demons in turn. You don't want to fool with them because they are much more powerful.
They're much more powerful.
And you're not going to defeat them. That's why you said how you want to defeat
them. Stand still. Yeah.
Now, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So we have power over that. But I'm just saying, you don't want to fool with them. Yes.
I just want to make a comment. Last Tuesday or Wednesday, Anel said, you were talking about your throat. I mean, it was Sunday. And Anel said, Satan. And the more I thought about it, and I think I even mentioned to you, that you were teaching truth. Satan, I mean, other churches are not telling us about the conflict between God and Satan and how Satan mimics God. And I really believe that is true, because you are teaching truth that Satan's attacking, and that's what we prayed last night. Just
in that area,
attacking.
Yeah.
He would love to shut you up. That's the bottom line.
How?
Yeah, he would love to shut you up, and that's to destroy your voice.
Yeah. Hal Lindsey.
You have to keep praying then.
Hal Lindsey, I heard him years ago, did a class on the study on a class, one class. Mm-hmm. On the voice of him and other people and then demonic influence. So, okay, anything else? But they're very real, they're very dangerous, and they're much wiser than we are. I don't care how smart you are, they're smarter. They've been around.
But greater is he that's in us.
Yes.
He that's in the
yeah,
world.
Holy
so
Spirit.
We can in the name of
yeah,
Jesus say,
exactly.
Get behind me.
Exactly. Okay, so that's point 7.8. Tartarus is described in Jude 6, and we've looked at it. Chains and thick darkness. 2 Peter 2:4, we actually have the word Tartarus, pits of darkness. So those are two things that are describing it. Okay, let's look at Genesis 6:5. Genesis 6:5. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent and thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now, you understand we're not spending a lot of time in this passage. I'm just kind of going through it a little bit so we can put it together. The wickedness of men. The word wickedness is used in different places. But people, they're in the context. That's how you study the Bible. Context. This is wicked. This is against... It's like, for an example, is there any difference in the sin level of a homosexual and a heterosexual who has illicit sex, adultery, fornication, whatever. In the sense before God, being out of fellowship with God, no. But in the sense of an attack against his very design, yes. There's illegitimate, but it's normal sex. But then you got abnormal sex. And so the wickedness here is just, it's wicked. It is against God's total plan. The period of history from the beginning of the angelic infiltration up to the flood was a most unique period of human history. There was so many unusual things that really did happen in this period of time. Let's go through some of those. I'm going to talk about three wickedness of the genetic attack. First of all, the sexual attack. The sexual attack. We got such things as Bacchus. B-A-C-C-H-U-S was the demon god, and I believe that Satan has given us a name of a demon here, and like God has given us the names of Gabriel, Michael, I think Satan has given us the name of some of his demons. That, if you don't believe that, that's fine. We can still have coffee, and not going to break any kind of fellowship, but I believe that these are actual names of demons. And Bacchus was a demon god who promoted the phallic cult. He started the first sorority in history, and the women were called Maenads, M-A-E-N-A-D-S. You can recall this up if you want to have fun reading it, which later became a word for sexual insatiability. And that's what happened with these women at this time in history. And they were involved in this sorority. The sorority emphasized emotion taking over the body, emotion taking over the soul, the emotion taking over the mind. Hence, it included a demonic possession of the person. So there was a great deal of demon possession going on, as well as demons taking human form. The function of the sorority was to seek, what we're doing is looking at that word wickedness. I want you to see the depravity that's going on with that word wickedness. The function of the sorority was to seek total freedom to give women more choices than they had ever had in their homes, under their parents, or with their husbands. This is one reason that God made the man the authority in the marriage. This goes back to what happened in the garden, and I'm sorry, it offends you, but women need this kind of protection, they need this kind of authority, and that's why in every marriage, the man is the authority in the marriage. And it's not 50-50, it's the man's in authority. That's all there is to that. So the function of the sorority was to seek total freedom given to women, more choices than it ever had at home under their father or under their husband. In other words, this period was to free them from what? From authority. We get back to the basic attack in history. The basic attack in history is a get out from authority. Out from authority of a pastor. Out from authority of the Word of God. Out from the authority of God Himself. This is what we want to do. We do not want to have that authority over us. We want to be independent. That's what sin is. I don't care what your sin is. I don't care if it's just a mental attitude. I am independent of God. I'm going to have it my way. I'm going to be angry. I'm going to be jealous. I'm going to do this. I'm going to steal. I'm going to gossip about someone. I'm going to slander somebody. I want my way. I'm independent of God. Every time we sin, whether you like it or not, you're saying, I am independent of God. I can do and I will do what I want to do. So that's what's happening at this time in a horrible, wicked, wicked way. So in other words, this period was to free society from authority. The function of the sorority was to establish total freedom. To establish total freedom. America doesn't understand freedom anymore. I'm sorry. I don't even know if you know who this man is, but Solzhenitsyn wrote a tremendous article on "Do you let a snake run free in your own home?" And what he was talking about was, no, you got this freedom of speech, freedom of this, and freedom of press, freedom of this for pornography, and all of these type of things, and we defend all of that. No, that's not freedom. When you take freedom away from authority, you've destroyed freedom. You've destroyed it. And that's what we have happening in our society, in our country today. So this whole society, sorority, was to get human beings away from authority and involved in sexual orgies with demons, with everything going on. Another one, after Bacchus, is King Pentheus, P-E-N-T-H-E-U-S, of Thieves. P-E-N-T-H-E-U-S. Pentheus, of Thieves, Greece. He became suspicious of three women in his household: his wife, his mother, and his sister. One night, after pretending to be asleep, he followed them as they slipped out of the house and attended one of these sorority meetings of Dionysus, the sorority. There he saw these women become involved in an orgy. King Pentheus couldn't stand it any longer, so he went in to rebuke these three women. They all literally clawed him to pieces with their hands, screaming and shouting. So, the normal men probably didn't say very much after a while. B, the second look at the wickedness, intellectual. First, sexual, and then, secondly, intellectual. Subpoint one. This is the story of Apollo, A-P-O-L-L-O, and the Oracle, O-R-A-C-L-E, of Delphi, D-E-L-P-H-I. The story of Apollo and the Oracle of Delphi. You may have heard of Apollo. You may have just heard of the Oracle of Delphi in various movies and different things. Apollo was a demon god. He was a demon god of light, who was very much involved in light. What is light? That's knowledge. You see and understand things. He was a demon god of light who was very much involved with the kingdom of darkness and Satan himself. Apollo was one of the first champions of the angel of light principle among demons. Remember that Satan takes on the form of light. Got to remember that. He was a champion of lucidity. In other words, making things very lucid, very clear. He was called the god of the sun. Apollo is his Latin name. His Greek name is Phoebus, P-H-O-E-B-U-S. Now, on Mount, point two. On Mount Parnassus, P-A-R-N-A-S-S-U-S, P-A-R-N-A-S-S-U-S, Apollo killed a gigantic python. Remember I told you that this was a period of great human accomplishments, as never before and never before or since in history. He killed this gigantic python. It was alleged to have been 50 feet long. If so, they calculated it weighed about 350 pounds. In Apollo's honor, the Pythian, P-Y-T-H-I-A-N, the Pythian Games were held. 3. Demon-possessed priest who served the demon god Apollo at the Oracle of Delphi prophesied and controlled the lives of many famous people. Now, let me tell you about Oracle. This is parentheses, if you're taking notes. Oracle, first of all, refers to a place. Oracle refers to a place, a shrine in which a deity reveals hidden knowledge. Or Oracle can refer to the person to whom this hidden knowledge is given. Or it can refer to the hidden knowledge itself. So we're clear on what oracle means. It doesn't just an oracle like you'd read an oracle. It can refer to a place, a shrine. It can refer to the oracle that is given. It can refer to the one who gives the oracle. Alright, point three. That was point three. That is point three. Sub-point three. Sub-point four, Apollo represents the doctrine of demons in 1 Timothy 4, 1 and 2. The doctrine of demons.
1 Timothy
chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. The doctrine of demons. It comes under the intellectual attack in this period of history and throughout history, as well as demon thinking in the cosmos, in the cosmic system, Satan worship, Satanology, all these kind of things that have been going on all through history. It's very dangerous to interpret the Bible by American history, and that to me is one of the biggest arrogance and problems of a lot of American Bible teachers and preachers. They interpret the Bible by American history. Oh, this has never happened before. Oh, yes, it has. This has been going on all through history. America, no. America's changed. America was a dark continent. The gospel came in. People responded to the gospel. People responded in the gospel in regard to their government and regard to their economic system. And it went along. And now America's becoming dark again. But don't interpret history by, oh, it never has been this bad before. Oh, yes, it has, people. Let me take you back to Nazi Germany. Let me take you back to the 1400s when they would go in and take blacks as slaves and kill and murder and all these things going on. Come on, wake up. These horrible things have been going on all through history. So, Apollo represents the doctrine of demons in 1 Timothy 4, 1 and 2, and as well as the demonic thinking in the cosmos. Apollo represents the intellectual departure from God. Being wise, they what? Became fools. This comes under that category. Intellectual departure from God. Intellectual departure from the Bible. Intellectual departure. Don't ever be horrified. Oh, how can this brilliant scientist say evolution is a fact? But how? Don't ever be. They have bought into the demonic thinking, the cosmic thinking. It doesn't surprise, shock, or bother me. I expect it. So it's just a matter that we've got to present the truth. There'll be those who will believe the truth, those who will reject it, and when they reject it, they're suckers for anything. They're suckers for all kinds of beliefs. That we all came from this little plasma, that we all came from stardust. It's just absurd what people will believe. But when you reject the truth, you have nothing to defend the truth. If you reject the Bible, you have no defense against the lie. None. So you believe the lie. You stay with the Bible, you've got a defense against the lie. Reject the Bible, no defense against the lie. That's why Satan had to take the Bible out of our judicial system before he could destroy our judicial system. Take the Bible out of our educational system before he could destroy that. And now he's taking it out of churches for all practical purposes. Why? Because then he can destroy you. You have no defense against the lie. What are they going to do in the Supreme Court about homosexuality, about various things that come up? They don't have the Bible anymore. On what basis are they going to say this is immoral, wrong, against the law, all these things? They have none. They have none. So you remove the Bible from the judicial system, educational system, move it from the educational system. What defense do they have against evolutionary teaching? None. They have no defense against it because you've taken away the truth. You have no defense against the lie. The third, wickedness. First wickedness was sexual. Second wickedness is intellectual. The third wickedness is sensationalism. Sensationalism. Miracles. Any type of big sensational things that people do. People are always impressed with sensationalism. It is amazing to me. I happened to be in Africa when Obama was winning the presidency and all these things. It's just amazing. You know, they just thought he was God. Oh, he is just, oh, I mean, we would go into a little area where they sold gas in a quart bottle, and there'd be a picture of Obama and throughout different countries in Africa. And then somewhere in Europe, they wanted to put up a statue of him. All these things. People are just so easily impressed with sensationalism. That's why Satan had it going on. That's why he had Hercules, this mighty man, and these 12 great feats that he did. All the things that he did with nature and man and animals and all this stuff. It sells. It sells good stuff. Sells a lot of good movies. Alright, point one. Mythologically, this pattern is related to Aeschylus. Let me give you spell his name. Capital A-E-S C-U C-U-L, excuse me. C-U-L-A P-I-U-S A-E A-E-S C-U-L-A P-I-U-S. He's the demon. I believe that's his name. He is a demon god of healing. He's a demon god of healing. He was the progeny of Apollos. And he had a human female, Cronus, C-O-R-O-N-A-S. Two, and medicine stills, big heal, faith healing, and all this kind of garbage that people talk about today and throughout all history. People are caught up in all that type of stuff. Two, to understand how demon healing works, we must know two great demon princes who served their king Satan. One is mentioned in the Bible, Abaddon. A-B-A-D-D-O-N. Abaddon. Found in Revelation 9. He is the demon in charge of overt warfare. He commands the demons who are in the abyss. We'll come to that after we finish Tartarus. He commands the demons that are in the abyss, from which he will bring forth great demonic army in the tribulation. Second one is also mentioned in the Bible. Beelzebub. 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 under Beelzebub. He's a prince. He's also in the Bible. He's a prince in charge of covert warfare against the human race. He has charge of directing all of Satan's demons, infiltrating human credibility, human servants, even in the Christian community. He's in charge of going in and getting people that will follow Satan but infiltrate. We've studied these in Revelation 2, where the church was warned against these people who will come in and pretend like they're one of you, and they're not. So he's the one in charge of all of these infiltrations, giving credibility to the demon people, the people that follow Satan. Satan's human deceivers include sorcerers who perform feats of necromancy, exorcists, so-called divine healers, people involved in signs from Satan, including the actual reproduction of the gift of the tongues, and all these things, all involved. People, you just can't imagine the network that Satan has. I don't emphasize and teach it too much. I should teach it more. He has the most unbelievable network you can imagine. It's just unbelievable. And these things are not just happen to happen. They're plotted and planned. 2, Beelzebub is a demon in charge of demons who, when they possess the body of an unbeliever, actually reproduce such things as a gift of tongues. 3, Beelzebub has a demon in charge of the undercover operations. Undercover operations sponsors activities to give credibility to Satan's human servants. Satan's human servants are easily identified as people who allege to perform miracles of healing for God. No one has been healed by a miracle healer since 96 AD. Jesus Christ, the only reason he performed miracles, people, was for his identification, not to alleviate pain. If Christ healed one person just to alleviate pain, then people, he's a fraud. Why wouldn't you heal everyone? If you can go to the pool and you can heal everyone there and you heal only one because you feel sorry for that one, you're a fraud. He healed to make his identification so people would recognize him as the Messiah. That's why he did the things that he did. He didn't feed the 5,000 because they were poor. He fed them to give identification to his message, to who and what he is. Okay, we will, yeah.
I mean, we know that we see miracles today.
Yes.
But not, I know what you're saying.
Not from the miracle workers.
Right.
Not from the miracle workers. God is always in the business of performing miracles.
Ministry is faith healing.
God is always in the miracle business.
Right.
Every time a person believes in Christ and is saved eternally, that's a miracle. That's a miracle. And it's a wonderful miracle. So, yeah. Okay, we will start here then next, yes.
There is demon-possessed people still. Like, are those, like, I thought those were just Old Testament.
No.
So, like, can people heal in the name of Jesus? Like, say, be healed. And then, like, what...
Hazel, yes, I believe you can. I think it's taken too far and made too much a mockery of it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I do believe you can be done exercising.
Mm-hmm.
I think you got to know what you're doing. I just would never want to fool with it.
Mm-hmm.
I know a man had a very wonderful ministry and bless his heart, he's a good friend in the past, and he got involved in exercising and I mean, it just snowballed, and he's no longer in the ministry. And he was good. He was a good Bible teacher.
What do you mean he got away from that and he went into faith?
No, he stayed in Bible teaching, but he started emphasizing exercising and all of this type of thing.
Okay.
getting involved in all of that, and so it wiped him out.
Is that in the power of Jesus Christ?
Yeah. And it just wiped him out. Yeah.
It goes back when you talked about tonight about the story and so forth. It goes back against Satan in the beginning. He didn't want to be a story about it. He wanted to be like God or God.
Yep.
Second of all, your comment about light being knowledge, I understand that, but you also touched on before, like in Genesis, light is the hope that God brings to me.
Yes.
So it just isn't knowledge. It's another form of that.
Yeah. Well, it's like everything. There's good knowledge, and then being wise, they became fools.
Yeah, but you always use the expression, God is light, light, hope. Light, the hope that you will
do. Yes. I understand what you're saying.
One, when you say light, it's knowledge, but the knowledge of not having the good knowledge.
Yeah.
Plain, maybe bad English, but.
Yeah.
And the other thing is on Hercules. Now, is that not the same Hercules in the Bible, or is it different?
Hercules is not in the Bible. He's in classical Greek mythology.
Well, we always talk about Hercules being a Christ-like figure. Hercules
might be
somebody else.
Samson.
Samson. Never mind.
I've been
looking at
names. Okay. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word that straightens out history. We have an answer to all of this mythology. We don't have to just shun it and stay away from it, ignore it. We can boldly come up to it. We have answers. We have understand. We praise you, Father, for this. We thank you, Father, for opening our eyes to things that you would have us to see and understand. And finally, Father, it just comes to the realization you're in control. We study things like this, and we should never doubt or be in fear again. We should never worry about what's happening in the world, in our own lives. You're in control. We praise you, Father, for the God you are. In your Son's precious name, amen.